Welcome in, listeners, to another episode of the Busby Babe podcast. I'm your host, Colin Dams, joined with a full room on this podcast of Matt Barnes, Nathan Heinschel, and Polly Questel. What is up, boys?
Yo, what's
Just
up?
waiting for that stimulus check to clear my bank account, baby. I got
Yeah,
bets to make.
it's got to clear the Senate first, man.
I just looked at a spreadsheet that I'm pretty sure I updated earlier this week, but the area where I fill in the date where I update it says as of 12/21, and I really don't want to like have to go back and recount. So like my day just took a turn for the worse.
Uh-oh. Well, how you doing, Matt?
I'm quite well. I'm excited. I got a job interview today. I already have a job, but I mean, it's the time. So I'm also trying
Yeah.
to get out of my parents' house. So there's that.
Gang
Yeah.
gang. I feel that.
Yeah, but I'm
Since you
doing quite
got
well though. Yeah, sorry.
since you got to hop off early, I was gonna give you the floor on Manchester United's recent string of results and yesterday's win over Wolverhampton Wanderers. And yeah, I don't think we've done a podcast since before the Leicester win, or not
Yeah.
win, the Leicester draw. So
Yeah.
there's that game to talk about as well. But yeah, take it away, Matt.
Okay, so I'll start with Leicester really quick. I think that we kind of just gave it away at the end. But which is, I mean, it was still a draw. We still got points, so I'm not gonna. And because we got this result, I'm not as mad at the Leicester result, which is kind of weird. Like, I still want us to win that game, obviously. But like I was just telling you guys, like, this game just has draw written like all over, like in Sharpie and spray paint, just everywhere. It's got draw on it. Especially the last 3 damn years, we couldn't find a way to beat Wolves for some reason. I mean, what? I mean, they're well organized. I'm gonna give them credit where it's due. But and I tell everybody like we could complain about a lot of things in this game. But I don't give a shit because we won. Like, I don't care. Like, I really don't care. Like, I mean, yes, there's always things to look and to improve on. But one of the best ways to improve is we played like dog shit. We still won. And we can still be like, all right, we still have stuff to get better on. That's like, I mean, it's not the perfect scenario, right? But I mean, it's great to see what we need to. I mean, and I think we all know what we've been not great at. I still think it'd be super dope if we could get some kind of center back in January. I know it's a lot and I don't know, and they're gonna complain about COVID again and everything, but and I know it's a lot. I know that's a huge blast of stuff, but I think we're in a good spot. Like, I think in the league, I mean, we
I
don't
mean,
usually have this amount of points. We usually have to make up points at this point in the season. And as long as we can just get results and just keep on doing what we're doing,
yeah, I mean,
we're gonna be in a good spot. I'm not gonna say we're gonna win because like I think that in the long run that we just have inconsistencies and I don't think that we have the depth for a full title challenge like right now. And don't get me wrong, it could happen. I mean, injuries with everybody else could get crazy too. So I mean, a lot of things can happen, especially like this is still a COVID affected season, even though it's gonna be 2021 and we want to try to forget about everything. Like, I think we're in a good spot, dude. We just gotta be consistent. I mean, I know that's the hardest fucking thing for us, but yeah.
But I mean, we've done it in the Premier League since we lost to RB Leipzig. I mean, we drew with City, we got a couple wins, and then we had a draw with Leicester, of course, but we found a way to get a win,
We've done it in the league
yesterday.
since we lost to Tottenham. I mean, since we lost to
Yeah.
Tottenham, the only game we lost came on a really crappy penalty, and like in what was just a disgusting game, and we're unbeaten otherwise. And even though it didn't look, it still looked shaky, like we hadn't turned a corner back in October. But in October you have to say, well, let's just see. It was too early to see if we turned a corner or not. And now you can look back on it and say, yeah, we had clearly turned a corner and we were laying the foundations to solidifying our defense and then opening it up and expanding to get the attacking in. It's like what Matt said, the draw against Leicester looks better because we got this result. And I think that was always what it was going to be. At the time it stunk because we threw it away not once but
A
twice. We threw
hundred
it away
percent, yeah.
early and we threw it away late. And in the grand scheme of things, when you look back on it, you know, a draw in the festive period is never, you know, you get three games in a week and it's rare for teams to go and pick up 9 points there. So if you pick up seven, you're always going to be like, oh, okay. And where'd that draw come? Oh, away to the second place team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a bad thing at all.
No, it's
just a matter of, you know, it's just a matter of you got to take care of business of the next two games. So we can't look at it like that yet. It looks much better now that we took care of business against Wolves. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think 5 points would be a little disappointing, not completely unfair, because Wolves and Villa are also difficult teams. But if we come away with 7 points, like, you're walking out of that Leicester.
If we can get that Villa win, dude, it's.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not gonna hide behind that shit, dude. Watch out, we're coming, dude. We might be inconsistent. We're coming, dude. But I had something I had to say, but I totally forgot.
I think the most frustrating part of the Leicester match was, I know everybody's gonna harp on that second goal because Eric Bailly just, you know. He did an excellent job on Jamie Vardy for 94 minutes and 55 seconds. And you give Jamie Vardy 5 seconds, and that's all he needs to beat you. And that's what happened.
And I don't blame Axel for that. That kind of sucks that he's, like, hadn't gotten to, play a whole lot. And then that's got to just be, like, I feel bad for the kid.
Right, and he's the right back. Like, that's Baye's man. And Baye had been marking Vardy all game. That's Baye's man.
Exactly. Yeah,
and he switched off, and that stunk. But to me, you still go back to that first goal, which was so preventable on so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
McTominay not closing down Harvey Barnes and just showing him his left foot.
Bruno turnover.
You're trying to nutmeg somebody for, like, when you look at it from the behind the goal angle, there's no pass there. He has Marcus Rashford all the way up the field, and Martial's in the center circle, and Leicester have men back. So, like, even mm-hmm. if that pass comes off, the reward isn't there. Like, if you want to start a break, you got to pull the ball to the left to try to beat that guy on the dribble because there was nobody there. And at worst, it opens up a passing lane to Rashford. So just the giveaway was so careless and so mm-hmm. stupid. But, like, what you don't realize is you don't know how the game is going to play out if that doesn't happen. And yes, Bruno makes up for it by scoring a goal, but he scored that goal in the 79th minute. Maybe Leicester score, you know, if Leicester don't score there, maybe they score 5 minutes later. Maybe they score 2 minutes later.
Right.
You don't know. Maybe they don't score. Maybe they push for a goal and that opens them up and United are able to hit them on a break and go up 2-0 and Bruno can come off the field after 60 minutes. So, you know, for as well as United have played, I think that's the residual of United not stepping on Everton's neck when they had them on the ground in the first 15 minutes of that mm-hmm. of that game, and then a careless error that makes it 1-1 all of a sudden in two games where, you know, in a game where you really didn't want to play Bruno 90 minutes and a game where maybe you could have gotten a chance to take him off. Now at three games in the last week, Bruno's had to play the full 90 minutes. And he's the one guy on the team where you're like, oh, we have to pick and choose our spots to rest him. And it's, we probably can't rest him from the start of a game. So, like, any game where he only has to play an hour is going to be massive going forward in the season.
Yeah, and I think the only game really that, you know, in sight that we would definitely rest him for is the Watford game. And even before that, you know, we've got Villa on Friday, and then we've got the Manchester City semifinal next week.
You know he'll be on the bench for that Watford game.
Yeah,
but I do think if you set up the right way against Villa, you could set up without him.
Yeah.
I'm just worried about people playing up for it. It seems like Bruno is just like, I mean, when the sub comes on, they come and talk to Bruno. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like he does keep us organized. I want to believe that. I want to believe that we can be organized enough to squeak a win at Watford. Oh,
you're right.
I don't know.
First half against West Ham when he wasn't playing, like, was a mess.
Yeah,
Cavani, Greenwood, and Martial were standing on top of each other the entire game.
Yeah, exactly. And then he comes in. He's a magician, dude. I remembered what I was going to say. Because I won't be here for very long. Is Maguire playing with a center back that has pace? Like, I like Lindelof, and don't get me wrong, I hope he's healthy, but
Harry Maguire just looks like a different player. Like, it just, to me, like, he just looks different when he's got a guy that can run back like that. Because I like Harry and Lindelof. I just think they're, and we've had this talk a million times, they're just too similar. I do think it'd be dope if we could get a center back with pace, because I want Bailly to do well. I want Tuenzebe to do well, but, like, we haven't been able to rely on Eric Bailly since we've had him for even half a season. Like, he will just get hurt, and that's unfortunate. And Tuenzebe's had injuries and knocks here and there, and he's still a kid and all that. I just think
He's 25.
Tuenzebe's
25? Yeah, I mean, he came up like under Mourinho.
He's young, like Jesse Lingard's young.
He was on loan to Aston Villa, I think, for two
seasons.
That's
what it was. Okay.
So he wasn't at the club for a little while.
It's like time. Yeah, it's time for him to.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, no,
be
I didn't.
In that team. Yeah. Like, he's not in that team.
I'm not good with ages. I forget that Jesse Lingard's like 40 already, but. No, not really. Anyways, I'm sorry. So I did not realize that. My brain hurts now. Okay, fine. So, regardless, I still think we need to send another center back with pace to help Maguire out. It doesn't change my point.
And also, Lindelof might be out for the year now.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. I mean, That's not good. Like, that's obviously really bad, but I think we kind of have to get a center back now if he is out for the year.
I like the way that they're handling it, because I heard back in October, November that he needed an operation that was going to put him out for the season on his back. We know he's been carrying this back injury.
Yeah.
And he was going to play through the pain. Before. He was going to play through the pain because United need him. And if they got a center back in January, then maybe he'd have the operation. And then on Saturday, I heard that this injury that he picked up against Leicester was like, all right, he needs the operation now. There's no more playing through the pain, which means he's out for the season. But they haven't announced that. And Ollie going into the press conference being like, you know, we're monitoring him and he's day to day is like, if he is out for the season, that's a really smart way to handle it. Because if there was a center back that you have your eye on, who's available in January for like 25 million, then if you come out a week before January and say Victor Lindelof is out for the season, suddenly that center back is 40 million. So if we're playing it off like, oh, Lindelof is just maybe like he'll be back soon, but like we're behind the scenes,
that's so frustrating.
Right. But like that's what there's two reasons why you would not announce that he's out for the season. And one is because he's not going to be out for the season, which that's a good thing because we do need him. Or two is because that'll raise the price on anybody that you are trying to get to replace.
Yeah. Well, I do got to go. I'm really sorry. Happy New Year, everybody. Everybody be safe and all that good stuff. We're coming, dude. That Villa win, I just want a result, dude. I'm telling you guys, like, I will not be shy about this, because in preseason when we talked about it, I do think that I maybe got lucky in the fact that we did have some results that we probably wouldn't have usually had. Like, this Wolves win, I'm weirdly, like, really excited. Like, it's kind of dumb, because usually I shouldn't celebrate just nicking a goal, but we won, and it seems like we have this swagger about us. This is, like, something we haven't seen in a long time. It's like, we're just finding a way to win. We're down 2-0, we score 3, you know? Like, you score 1, we're going to score 2. Like, if we could just get the swagger and keep it, I don't know, guys. I'm excited, but I'm gonna let you guys go. Happy New Year. It was fun. I'll catch you guys in a bit.
See you, Matt.
All right, see you guys.
Yeah, the 21 is coming hype was definitely a thing on Twitter yesterday after the win, and
it's too soon for that.
Yeah,
it's not too soon to pretend that we're in it, but like, just don't forget that 2 weeks ago Tottenham thought that they were in it, and then last Sunday they were playing Wolves, and that was a game between 8th and 12th.
Yeah. Yeah, things are actually a lot tighter in the Premier League table than maybe people would realize, because I think when Chelsea and Villa played, they were level on points, or they're still level on points because they drew.
Yeah, but, I mean, my friend who's a Spurs fan yesterday, like, when Arsenal won, and he's the sky is always falling for him. So yesterday when Arsenal won, he was like, Arsenal will pass Spurs, or will catch up to Spurs in the next two match days. And, like, that's how close it is. The Arsenal have been garbage this season, but in theory, they can catch Spurs in two match days.
Yeah. Well, I guess one of the important things for maintaining, stability and consistency, and especially this part of the Premier League season, is finding goal scorers to rely on. And other than Bruno Fernandes, we haven't really had that this season. But, Marcus Rashford getting two goals, two games in a row, kind of forcing things to happen on this last one. A goal in each of those games, not, two goals in each of the games.
He's got four goals in his last three starts, now that you think about it.
Yeah.
Sheffield.
Yeah, that's true.
Then what was after Sheffield? Or maybe I'm wrong.
Who played? He scored against Leicester.
Right, but who did we play after Sheffield?
Played Leeds.
Right.
That's right. He didn't score against Leeds.
But then he didn't start.
He's like the only person who didn't score against Leeds.
That's Martial.
Yeah. But I think that's also
which was equally important.
Right. I think this is also like a good thing, is we're up to second in the league, and our number nine is one goal. And it's not for lack of chance. It's really for lack of confidence. And he's such a good finisher that you keep getting him these chances, he's going to start putting them away. We could do a better job of getting our forwards chances. That's really where we struggle. But once Martial's not going to play at this pace the whole season. He's going to start putting the ball in the net, and that just makes us even more dangerous. I mean, we're scoring goals. Like, what do we have, the second most goals in the league? And our starting our first choice number nine has one goal. Second choice number nine, our backup striker has three. Mason Greenwood has one, and now Marcus Rashford's starting to score. But
yeah,
we're doing a good we're finding offense in other ways. But at a certain point, like, they're gonna play to the back of their baseball cards, and Martial's gonna start scoring again, and we're gonna have new ways of carrying this team.
We lost a game by five goals, and our goal differential is eight. Like, we're finding ways to score. We also won a game by
four goals, so.
I mean, it's impressive that we're finding ways to, score goals without really the forward line kind of finding that form that they had last year, where you thought, if we had the forward line the way they were playing last year, playing for this team right now, then all of a sudden the sky's the limit is the kind of stuff that you start talking about. So it's one of those things where we're just sitting here waiting for water to find its level, really, with, Tony. And Marcus is, to a certain degree, like, Marcus isn't really playing that well.
He was garbage yesterday.
Yeah, what he's doing is he's at least making up for it with goals, which is something that if your forward's not going to play well, if they score, you forget about that, which is important. And at the end of the day, if you score in a 0-0 draw at the death, at the end of the day, nobody cares when the goal was scored or how the game was played. What matters is you got 3 points and, you got it during a congested schedule. So it's like, if Cavani's
going to start... And you're going to have bad games. Everybody has bad games.
If Cavani's going to start having consistent minutes, still wondering whenever the FA is going to, give him a three-match ban or not. And you got Tony, who's finally found the back of the net. Maybe he's starting to get a little bit more confidence. Marcus, despite, having some poorer performances than what his standard should be, he's still finding the back of the net. Then you're just looking at, Greenwood to maybe start to up his game a little bit, because right now he's kind of got – he goes for those step-overs, and it led to an assist yesterday. But he's kind of just been kicking the ball into defenders' legs a lot recently. And so you're like – focus back up.
Yeah,
find your form from last year, and the forward line would be looking, pretty pristine.
It would help him out if four defenders didn't collapse on him every time he got the ball near the box.
Yeah. Well, and then that's on him. He's got to start recognizing that sooner so that way he can find the space then that's clearly going to be opened up when that many people collapse on him.
I do think it's good, though, that at least in the last couple of games that I've seen him, he's tried to, you know, work back and get involved in build up, which is, you know, the best that we saw him play last season was when he was doing that. You know, most of his goals still came against poor sides, but you know,
he's got to get confidence in that right foot.
Yeah.
And everybody's gonna say, oh, he's very two-footed. Yeah, he's very two-footed in the box. He could finish with either foot, but outside the box, he does not use his right foot. And we saw it yesterday. Pogba played a ball on the break that took a deflection off Wolves player and bounced right to Greenwood, who could lead the charge. And he had two options, basically. If you wanted to lead the break, there was a simple ball to play to Bruno with your right foot, or he could have taken on the defender and tried to drive down that right touchline. And instead, he pulled it back onto his left, which cut off the passing angle. And then he just chipped it in for Cavani, and it went straight to the goalkeeper. And Bruno rightfully right away had a go at him and was like, dude, just play the simple ball. It's just he's afraid of using that right foot. And like in transition, he's very good on the left. We saw him last year against Brighton, this year against Brighton. But on the right, he keeps pulling up to go onto his left foot. And it just slows us down and kills us so much. The other good thing, though, is we're finding all these goals. We've only won 5 penalties in the league, and we missed one. So, like, last year there was definitely – it wasn't so much a criticism because – I mean, it was a criticism, but our style of play leads to penalties. We have Rashford, Martial, Bruno running at defenders in the box. These are guys that get a lot of – that, you know, draw a lot of fouls to begin with. So if you start drawing fouls in the box – if you start doing the same thing in the box that you were out of the box, you're going to win penalties. They've only, you know, how sustainable is it though? But this year they're doing it without penalties and they're winning penalties at like a faster rate than they were last year. They're all coming outside the league. So, you know, they're still Manchester United. They're still playing that style, which is still yielding, getting to the spot, but in the league they're doing it without it. They are due one against Aston Villa, though, that's for sure.
Yeah. I wanted to pose this question for you guys. Since it seems like, and we saw a glimpse of it again yesterday, the kind of Martial on the left, Cavani through the middle, Rashford on the right, it seems like our more lively front three. But is obviously unsustainable because of Cavani's age and history of muscle injuries. Would you think that maybe putting Mason Greenwood in the middle of that could be an interesting experiment for Solskjaer to consider?
I'd like him to do it more than I'd like him to put Greenwood on the right. The issue is Cavani had a very weird game yesterday. A lot of times he ended up playing like as the number 10 behind Bruno, who was like the number 9. And Cavani's good with his feet, but his link-up play was non-existent. And it's something that we really saw change when Martial came onto the field. And he was doing that off the left. So if he can do that from the left, that's really important and really good, because I would like him to move Greenwood to the middle, because then you end up with Greenwood coming off the left more. And he'll get, you know, when he comes off the left, it just makes him more dangerous in more areas of play. But the key is that Rashford has become a producer from the right side. Because we said this at the beginning of the season, I big time was a big proponent of it. If every time we've seen Rashford from the right coming into this season, he kind of just doesn't perform. And this season, he scored a hat trick against RB Leipzig. Two of those goals were coming from off the right. He scored against Paris off the right. He scored against, last night was off the right. He did it in another game too. I believe like a lot of his goals have come off the right. He's been a better creator off the right, which makes sense. So
yeah, he's a pretty good crosser with his right foot. It's just, you know, when he cuts it back on his right from the left, you kind of expect him.
You know what's coming and you have time to set up and regroup. So him being all of a sudden a productive option on that right, because like Mata's been okay, but like Mata's been, he's had some games where he's been great. You know, Mata doesn't seem to have a valley. He's either at the top of the mountain or the bottom. Like, he's either been great or irrelevant. And he's basically been equal amounts of games great and irrelevant. Greenwood has, you know, he's just not contributing in the buildup, and it's just unreliable. Dan James is, you know, you can't say he's proven to be reliable just yet. So all of a sudden Rashford becomes a producer on that right. That's really, really helpful and opens up the door, you know, for someone from Aston Villa to come into the team.
Possibly in January.
Not in January.
Definitely not in January.
I mean, we don't have money. Like, let's nip it in the bud right now. We don't have money. Like, we're cutting deals on credit, basically, and for cheap, like, players for the future. That, you know, this Cicado guy is like, a good low-cost deal that we're not paying a lot up front for.
Also, Aston Villa are 4 points off of us right now. Why would they sell us at? Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, for now, they're about to be 7 points off of us.
Well, it's, yeah, I guess.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
No, that's going to be one of those Grealish is curling one in, and like the 91st minute, we all just sit there and go, God damn it.
No. Well, speaking of that game, I don't think I've watched Villa since. Oh, no, that Chelsea game was earlier this week, so I did watch them. But,
Monday.
are they still kind of the high-flying, high-scoring, high-energy team that they were early this season, or have they kind of, you know, petered out a little bit?
Ooh, Villa are good. Like, the good thing about Villa is they're kind of like Leeds in that they're actually a lot like Leeds, to be honest. They create a lot of chances. Like, it should not – like, they get overlooked a lot, but they create, like, a real lot of – I think they were, like, third or fourth in non-penalty XG, like, coming into this round of games, and it's like they played two fewer games than everybody. And cumulatively, that's where they are. They're bad finishers. They have games – like, you know, Ollie Watkins, El Ghazi, like, they just have games where they just miss everything. That was, like, what was so strange about the game against Liverpool is that – they basically got eight chances and they scored on seven of them. Whereas they have other games where they have 20 chances and they score on one of them. So they're also good. They have the most clean sheets in the league, but when they concede goals, they concede goals. Their tactics against Chelsea, they like came out with like a man-to-man press against Chelsea on Monday. And, you know, like we saw what happened when you gave us a man-to-man scheme. When we played Leeds, we blew the door off them. So that's kind of a good thing. But it's also just if you're going to concede chances against Villa, but if you concede only three or four, like there's a good chance that they're only going to score on one of them. So that's good for us. I forgot what I was.
The most recent game I've watched of Aston Villa's was Boxing Day when they played Crystal Palace. Ended up going down a man, up 1-0, and then managed to score two more on Crystal Palace. And, you know, Crystal Palace, after their opening day performance, hasn't quite met that same standard. But I'd say that they're still a relatively decent team. Like, you know, they can get up for a game and they've got goal scorers, or at least they have Zaha. But, you know, Aston Villa were just all over them. It didn't even matter that they were a man down. Watching that game, like, Ollie Watkins should have probably had a hat trick, and he just couldn't buy a goal. You know, it was one of those ones.
Yeah, he squanders a lot of chances.
Yeah, you're watching Ollie Watkins, and you're like, man, is this guy Manchester United forward? He just had like four or five chances right in front of goal, and it was just like, how did you not put these in? It was Timo Werner-esque, honestly.
The other good thing, though, is fitness. Like, so Nathan just said, they went down to 10 men on Boxing Day, and they're still pushing forward to score goals. Then they played 48 hours later against Chelsea, where they're pushing forward right through the 90 minutes. They aren't making changes. They're playing the same 11. They're not subbing a lot. And Dean Smith, after the game, said, you know, none of my players have said they wanted a rest. They all want to play. So, like, I'm not going to, you know, if they want to play, I'm going to play them. And it's like, yeah, You're the manager, though. Like, your players aren't going to want to rest. Like, it's your job to make sure that their hamstrings stay intact. And he's not saying that they're going to, that they're in for a whole round of hamstring injuries, which maybe they are, but they haven't been rotating that squad. You think eventually all these games in a 1 week span might come back to hurt them or bite them on Friday, and they could be a little tired against the team as United that is very well fit, that we have the second most goals in the final 15 minutes of games. You saw us turn it on in the last 20 minutes last night, so that could be a huge advantage.
Yeah, and also I think, you know, other than Bruno, we've been able to rotate our midfield pretty well. And I, you know,
I mean,
depending
I would
on
expect
all
I
want to put
out. Fred to play tomorrow, to play in front.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, looking at their stats too, they've played 14 matches, and they've got 8 clean sheets. So defensively, they've been pretty decent. They're averaging 2 goals a game. Weirdly enough, despite the fact that they have 8 clean sheets, they are also averaging 1 goal conceded per match. So there's going to be an opportunity for United to...
When they concede, they concede.
Yeah, there's going to be opportunities for them to take their chances. What I'm going to be very curious to see, obviously, like, all eyes are going to be on Jack Grealish. One, because he's their most high-profile player, but, you know, he's also their best player by a long mile. And I'm gonna be curious, because not only is he a goal-scoring threat, but he is kind of that creating player for them. You know, is this one of those games where we see Fred do what he did against Kevin De Bruyne when we played Manchester City, where he just covers him the whole game? Like, that's a man-marking thing, where it's wherever Grealish is, Fred, you need to be there.
And also,
do we see him do that? Because De Bruyne is like a central player, and Grealish is more like off the left. So do we see him do that? Or and I think it's harder to pull off. But like then again, Hazard used to play off the left for Chelsea, and you know Mourinho used to just stick Ander Herrera on him the entire game.
Yeah, I think Aaron Wan-Bissaka and where he is coming back from his brief rest, he went head to head with Ait Nouri, the whole game yesterday, and wasn't super highly tested defensively, but he probably will be on Friday, so keep an eye on that matchup
as well.
Sure,
that's a matchup that works in our favor. Wan-Bissaka versus anybody, I would fancy Wan-Bissaka, and if Grealish wants to cut in, yeah, maybe you have Fred there. I would think McTominay, Fred get the call. It might be a good game for them, because if Villa are open for the you could pick them apart on counterattacks. I don't see how you leave. You got to find a way to work Paul Pogba into the squad. I 100% he deserves to be dropped in October, but now he's playing better and the team wins when he's on the field. Since the November international break, we've played 7 games, or Pogba started 7 games and we've won 5 of them. Yeah. Maybe it's a good thing that Rashford starts producing on the right, because you could play Rashford on the right and Pogba's that like pseudo left winger thing like we did against Manchester City, and it will work better, because if you're worried about the defensive aspects of Pogba in midfield, like this hides it a bit more.
Well, and if we divert back to the McFred midfield, do you feel like then in a way that is United can, like, we keep it with the Chelsea game and the Arsenal game and the City game, we always do these podcasts after those games saying that we respected those teams too much, and instead of just playing the way we played.
I saw this on Twitter the other day. Someone said you're right. You're hitting the nail on the head, Nathan. It's when you see McTominay and Fred at this point now, you're admitting that the other side's better than you. And I think we've gotten to the point that we need to stop doing that.
But definitely let Fred play.
Yeah.
Give us Pog Fred.
Oh, I would love for Pog Fred. Ollie just seems so reluctant to do that. And I don't get why.
Yeah.
I look forward to this game, though. I think this one's going to be a good one. I'm hoping that, Wolves didn't take too much out of us. For the most part, I mean, we did have the lion's share of the possession, but, you know, Wolves got out on the break, so there was definitely some running yesterday that happened. So I'm hoping everybody's feeling fit, because I think that this one has the potential to be a relatively wide-open game. Almost, I don't think it'll be like the Leeds game where it was, you know, watching the Miami Heat back in the early 2010s, but I think it'll be a pretty good one.
It does scare me to see them in this game, like, because unless it is exactly like the Leeds game, like, which, you know, even if we played Leeds again, I don't see that happening again. Like, even if we put out the same 11 from both sides with the same tactics, I don't see, you know, what happened in that game happening again. I think that was like a one-off. And so you hope if Villa are playing open, McTominay and Fred can pick them apart, but you're also scared. Like, this is, don't get me wrong, Ollie was right to go to them in October. We needed them to stabilize this team and get us back on track. They did their job. Now it's time to start. Instead of saying, what were you, when people say, oh, I don't, you know, you can't play Pogba and Matic, they'll get run over like they did against Tottenham. Pogba and Matic have started 5 games together this season. We've won 4 of them. And that's in the league. Or it might be in all competition. Yeah.
That was the base of our midfield for the run that we had in Project Restart.
Right, people were like, you couldn't have played them like that against Leicester. Leicester would kill them. It's like, we played them against Leicester on the final day of the season last year. We won 2-0. McTominay and Fred did their job, but, like, it's, you know, you got to stop worrying about what did someone do in September and October now, and what have you done for me lately. They have started 7 Premier League games this season together. We've won 3 of them. And one of them was 1-1 when Pogba replaced Fred. So, they play well in the big games. They've played 6 times against top 6 opponents in their career in the Premier League as a pair. We've won 2 of them. They're living off that Tottenham City double big time. They haven't lost a game. There's definitely something for that. But, you know, again, if you're not losing will get you into the top 4. But once you're in the top 4, you need to start winning some of those games. And, you know, at a certain point, like, you know, winning 3 out of the 7 games they're playing, even though, yes, they started as a pair against Chelsea and City, you need to do better than that. And that scares me they're going to play against Villa. Like, you know, there's some hesitancy on that. It puts a lot of pressure on everybody else.
And, you know, sitting in second place, and I think I'm going to ask this to kind of wrap things up, but for a team that wasn't necessarily expecting to be in this position, but, you know, had that expectation of trying to improve upon a third place finish last season, do you think that that is going to push Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to maybe take a bit more risk when it comes to game management than what we've seen in, you know, like a McTominay Fred midfield, maybe trying to change things up a bit more, you know, trying to become more aware of the position in the league that you're in, you know, only 2 points off of the defending champions?
Well, I think he's definitely seeing his team rise to the occasion now, especially when you got people making jokes about Solskjaer time after yesterday's game. I think that the team after, you know, last year, that just hellacious roller coaster we went on where we spent the fall wondering, you know, hey, are we going to finish in the top 10 or not? And then, you know, we went on that run, secure Champions League, finished 3rd. This year had a little bit of a stumble right out of the gate because of no preseason, but for all intent and purposes, despite, you know, a couple aberrations like the Tottenham game, the Arsenal game, the RB Leipzig game, the Istanbul Basaksehir game, this team has been really consistent, has been in just about every single game that it plays in. Outside of the Tottenham game, like, United's really had a chance to win just about everything they played in. I don't see why you don't start defaulting to playing more confidently. I don't see a reason why we shouldn't. Especially with 2 eyeballs, you can look at the Premier League table and see that this thing's wide open. You know, this time last year, Liverpool was, what, 20 points ahead of everybody else? Like, it's a very, very small gap, and we have Liverpool in 2 weeks. So it's one of those things where you look at our upcoming Premier League results and it's like, we win this game, we win this game. You know, maybe we draw this game. Liverpool does the same thing. You know, we go into that rivalry match with the opportunity to then steal points off Liverpool and take first place from them. So I don't see why you shouldn't start to get out of your shell a little bit. I'm not saying, like, you know, sell the farm in every single game, like, still manage players. You got to make sure that nobody's getting hurt because of overwork. But I don't know that we should just, like, pack it in games that we definitely should be going for the throat in.
Right. I think the confidence is...
I think it's too early to take risk to do that. Like, yeah. Because at the end of the day, look, you know when Solskjaer pushes for something. We saw him do it his first season when Champions League qualification suddenly became attainable. And last season when we were behind the eight ball and they were pushing for the Champions League, it was same 11. And we know how that plays out. We know Matic can't play every game. So right now, what's the point in that? What's the point? Like, yeah, you can say Matic and Pogba are on a good run and let's play them together and et cetera, 3-4 games. But like, if you burn Matic out a little bit, you know, as the season progresses, it's harder for him to recover and get back to 100%. So are you going to burn him out by January, February, and then have to figure it out the rest of the season? Like, what's the gain there? If you're in this situation with 4 weeks left of the season, mid-April, then yeah, maybe that's when you would start to say, like, look, we're just going to push Nemanja. We spent the whole season trying to manage your minutes so that you're ready for this, and now we're throwing you out there. That's a worthwhile risk. You can't do that right now, so McTominay and Fred have to play. Do they have to play as a pair? Probably not. So at a certain point, maybe you start mixing up your pairs, but like, we could still see that he is risk averse, and we saw it last night. You know, Wolves weren't threatening at all, especially in the second half, and it's 0-0, and maybe you can make another attacking sub. We had a sub left. You know, maybe you could take Wan-Bissaka off. Matic goes and plays like in a back three and bring on someone like Juan Mata to get more creativity in the team. But that's easy to do when you're 1-0 down. When you're 1-0 up, you're still worried about the, like, you don't want to concede one. You know, we're chasing a winner, but we don't want to concede a winner. And that's something right out of Ferguson's book. Like, literally, I could open it up right now and show you the page where he talked about, like, people always said we took a lot of risks, but like we really didn't. It was, we waited like when a team was 1-0 up or 2-1 up or 1-1, and they said, oh, a point at Old Trafford, like that's fine. And they take off a striker and bring on a midfielder to like shore things up. And he was like, well, that's one fewer player that's coming back the other way, so we could send one more player up. But it was never like we didn't throw the kitchen sink at you until you made these changes that said we're not going forward anymore. And when you did that, we said, fine, we'll go more forward. But if you kept saying, hey, we're going to come back and try to go the other way on you, like United would have stayed, you know, he was pretty risk averse. And we're seeing that from Solskjaer. So I think at the end of the season, if you're in a title race, then all bets are off. But right now, the gain is just so minimal, it's not worth it.
Yeah, I guess what I meant by risk taking wasn't necessarily like finding your best 11, but it, like, obviously he's been managing the midfield pretty well with, you know, trying to find a nice balance of rotating the squad. And I think the addition of players in the offseason and, you know, the emergence of McTominay and Fred last season obviously helps with that too. But I guess what I meant more was within, obviously he's going to keep his 4-2-3-1 system, but within that a little bit, trying to change shape for certain matches. I mean, we've seen him do that and fail in, you know, previous big games, but, you know, sometimes you got to be a little bit more creative to try and
there's also how happen. You know, there's also the differences in how they change shape within that 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
You know, with McTominay and Fred, it's really a 4-2-3-1. When Matic comes in, it very quickly turns into a 3-2-5. When Pogba was playing, you know, against Manchester City, it varied between a 4-2-3-1 and a 4-4-2. You know, at times Pogba will tuck in, or, you know, Dan James even was tucking in last week against Leicester was like really weird. James was basically playing like a right midfielder, not so much a right winger. And Rashford was up top, kind of, but like really more central. And it was kind of just like, it was kind of like a 4-3-1-2 in a way, but like a completely lopsided and disjointed one. And it was actually Luke Shaw stepping into midfield. So like we actually kind of left the left side open, which was weird because we're a left heavy team. But like Shaw was basically making a three man midfield. So there's all different types of rotations that you can do within these base formation against different teams. And it's also just dictated by the personnel you have.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would argue that, you know, going on the run that we went with last season, using the same 11 for every single game, pretty much, I kind of thought that was a little bit conservative from Solskjaer. But, you know, that also comes with who is available to you and how much do you trust those players. And I think now he's in a situation where he has a lot more people that he can trust to do different jobs.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's a matter of also, like, he's extended the squad. And I spoke about this at the beginning of the season, is it's when can you, you know, you don't need 11 players firing on all cylinders. As we've seen, Martial's not scoring, Greenwood's not scoring, etc. You know, you don't need to beat Wolves 5-0. If you nick a goal at the end, you still get 3 points. So it's when can I stick in, you know, a Dan James and just get minutes out of him, and not, as long as it's not a liability, like, and do we have enough firepower that if I get 65 minutes out of a right winger, you know, who's just there for 65 minutes, and then I bring on Cavani for the last 25 and I could get a result that way. And he's been doing a phenomenal job with that. And that goes a long way in helping keep your squad fresher, because you are just, you're taking certain areas and you're eating minutes that other players don't have to eat. I would like to ask you guys this question, though. I'm going to steal it from my boy Luckhurst. Is that United-Burnley match from the opening day of the season, which was postponed, and we were all like, well, there's only like two available times to play it, and the closest one is in January, and everybody kind of assumed we'd play it in January. Premier League still hasn't said anything about it. It would be the like Wednesday before playing Liverpool. Would you rather play it then, or would you rather wait and hold off till later in the season to play it?
Have we played our other match against Burnley yet? Or that one's scheduled for April, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Burnley away. We might not have to worry about it happening before Liverpool, because the other calculus that I was going to interject with, as far as like Solskjaer taking risks and stuff, it's sounding like another Premier League postponement is very much on the table right now, and it's being discussed by all the clubs.
There's a notification while we were recording about 15 minutes ago. The Premier League rejected a cooling off period by vote. So,
I mean, they might not have a choice, though.
Let's be honest. This has nothing to do with COVID. This is, every team has looked around, been like, we've been playing a lot of games. None of us have been rotating our squad, and all of our players are tired and getting hurt. A 2-week break would be massive. And that's why they're pushing for it. And Solskjaer was asked about it last night. Solskjaer, who has been rotating his squad all season, who his squad have been responsible and have been following protocols and aren't getting COVID, was absolutely right to say, no, like, why should we do that? He came out against it and he was right about it. Like, if you're worried about, that's what they're using COVID to try to get a break, because their players are run down and it's because they're not rotating them. And
after they voted for only 3 subs instead of 5.
Yeah. Right. Solskjaer's right. Like, if your players are tired, rotate them. You know, rest them. Try to get them rest.
But
nobody's doing that.
His players are
fitter, so he's, you know, let's push on, because my team is finding form.
Yeah. To answer your question, Paulie, I think I'd rather play that Burnley game before the Liverpool match, because, you know, coming off of that Liverpool game, we've got a couple matches against Fulham and then Sheffield United. And I think those are potentially good, you know, cool off games after a pretty intense battle with Liverpool, you know, hopefully an intense battle. Or, you know, if we lose, those are good bounce back games for us. So, yeah, I'd probably try and slot it into that period between Watford and Liverpool.
Well, yeah, because I think we should tank the Watford game.
But well, like,
we're not going to tank it. We are going to send out the reserves.
But I want to see Pulisic and Diallo in that game.
Do you think that we should play them 3 days before playing Liverpool?
Play Burnley?
Nathan hasn't answered that question yet.
I mean, it's one of those things. Like, it's when it happens, it's going to happen. Like, I think I would prefer to have us have a little bit more rest before Liverpool, but. You know, why would we ever have that kind of luck to be able to have an extra 2 days to prepare for Liverpool? I mean, Burnley's not particularly great this year compared to what they have been in recent years. I mean, they are shipping a lot of goals right now. But at the same time, too, Burnley is like Wolves, where it seems like whenever we play them, it's just not a good game for us. So, I mean, maybe you can have it during the week of the Liverpool game just because, like, they're going to probably concede 70% possession. So it's not like our guys are going to be running up and down the pitch for 90 minutes. It's going to be a lot of trying to unlock that team.
Right. And, if McTominay and Fred are playing against Liverpool, like, I mean, Matic and Pogba are guaranteed to be playing against Burnley.
Yeah.
Our record against Burnley in January is not good, but... strike while the iron's hot. Like, Burnley are exhausted from the festive period. We are playing Watford beforehand, so we can rotate the squad a bit. Strike while the iron's hot. Like, if they're coming off the festive period exhausted, get them while they're exhausted and while we're rotated. And yeah, like we just said, you know, you'll probably play Cavani or something. You know, like, we have good players that could play against Burnley, and then we'll be pretty fine for Liverpool. But you also put a lot of pressure on Liverpool because, like Nathan said, you know, if you win here, you win there. Suddenly that game becomes, you know, if we win that game, that's the game in hand. And if you're 2 points off the top going to Anfield, you can flip that.
Yeah, I mean, looking at Burnley's recent results, they got a draw against Everton. They beat a 10-man Arsenal team, draw against Aston Villa. Looks like they gutted one out against Wolves. They lost to Leeds, and they beat Sheffield United 1-0.
Just a little way. And our away form is pretty good. I'd like to play the away games before fans can come back.
But I mean, looking at that schedule, I mean, they had pretty good results, which means they probably had to bust their ass to get those. So, like Paulie's saying, I mean, that team's got to be, you know, low on gas at this point. I mean, Sean Dyche is going to feed them piss and vinegar in the lead up to that game, and I'm sure it's going to be ugly, but I don't see why we can't win that game. Even with Liverpool in the same week. So.
And let's be honest, you know, Nathan might want us to tank the Europa League, but like, that's not how Solskjaer is going to approach it. So whenever, you know, we're going to have to pay our taxes on this game eventually. If you don't take them out of our paycheck up front, like, we're going to have to pay it when tax season comes around. So do you want to play this now, or do you risk like April or something, or having to cram it in somewhere when it's like, oh, we really could have used that 3 day break.
Also, Liverpool are going to have a nice rest anyway, because their last Premier League game before they play us is on the 4th against Southampton.
Yeah, their New Year's Day game is on the 4th. Like,
they're not
talking about nice.
Right, they're not going to play their full squad against.
Oh, I'm sure Jurgen's going to bitch about it though.
Of course he'll bitch about it.
I got to be honest with you. Like, I for a long time I really really liked Jurgen Klopp, despite
he joined being
a Liverpool manager. Like, I've always I found him to be a really interesting, affable dude. Our politics, I think, match up too. Like, he just seems like a pretty, you know, I think he'd be a good guy to have a beer with. But this season, man, he is really just like taking a turn for being one of those annoying managers where it almost seems like, you know, he's getting a Mourinho streak where all
part of it is
he's kind of doing that last year.
Part of it, yeah, but part of it is like he's playing the game. You have to do this. Like, he did this in Germany too. It was just in German. We didn't understand. Part of it is him playing the game. Like, this is what all managers have to do. It takes the story away from their players. It takes pressure off their players, et cetera. And then part of it is like, yeah, he didn't do this at first when he was at Liverpool, but I think he was like, my team wasn't good enough. So it's like, you know, we're still building and, you know, losses are going to happen. Da, 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 da. Now I think he just, it's like, I genuinely think my team is the best team in every single game, and it's like unfathomable that we could lose to such inferior opposition. Like, there obviously has to be something else at play here, and like that's just,
I think it's
like,
what he started going after reporters in the post match. Like, that's what I was like, out, all right.
His comments like every time now, like, are just like, how could my team have lost? It obviously is not our fault.
Yeah, it always comes off now as either a sore loser, a sore winner, or a sore drawer.
It's just sore.
Yeah, I think he needs a vacation or something, because yeah, he's starting to kind of.
Well, like the thing is, like that's also like everybody has their shtick. Nobody really changes it up. Everybody has their shtick, and when you're winning, it's fine, and when you're losing, it gets annoying. Mourinho is always deflect. Lampard seems to be, I'm gonna blame my players. Mourinho also throw the players on the bus. Klopp is doing this. Ollie is always. Take all the positives out of it and like, oh no, it's still fine. And you know, and everything's all roses and none of them change it up. Like that, every manager just has their way of going about it that like when you lose, you don't want to hear it from anybody and it gets annoying, but at least, he's staying consistent. This is just his thing.
That's why Sir Alex is the GOAT, get you a man who can do all the above.
And Sir Alex would just blame the reporters. And the ref.
Yeah.
That match day fit from Sir Alex, though.
Oh, yeah. So that is going to do it for us on this episode. We'll be back again. When do we play again after Villa? Is it the next
Friday.
Monday?
Oh, it's Friday and then Wednesday.
Wednesday we play City in that EFL Cup game. So we'll probably get another episode in before that to do a proper preview. And, I've been Colin.
21 is on.
Don't let Bruno know that it's not 2020 anymore.
Auf Wiedersehen.